Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with security shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey everyone, this is the Jane Marissa Podcast. Welcome. And today I'm talking to a guy called Julia. Oh, Julia. So you may know her on Instagram. It's Bike Code Julia. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
You're in the movie.
Yes, I'm in some. I just moved to a different. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, you just moved to a different gym.
Yes, I moved to a different part of Simui just to get a new environment because I've been staying in the same place for 5 months. And now I'm in a new area of Simui. And it's so crazy because there's so many gyms here. So now, like in my new area, there's like four different Muay Thai gyms within 5 minutes drive. So I've been exploring two of them and they're both awesome.
Okay. I was a bit worried about what you were going to say there.
The more a gym kicks your ass, the more you're like, wow, this was amazing. But it's like you're crying, but you're like, wow, that's really good.
Okay,
like if you're not getting your ass kicked, then you're like, well, that was okay.
That's true. Actually, you do want to feel like, okay, that was a challenging workout and you got something from it. You drive a motorcycle.
Yeah. Say that again?
Do you drive a motorcycle?
Yes. Okay. Motorbike. So not motorcycle, I guess. Yeah. That would be way cooler.
So let me just get a little bit of your background. You're Chinese American.
By the way, this is audio, so I can't nod. I have to verbally acknowledge. Yes. That is correct.
I'm also trying the video as well.
Oh, okay. Erase my face.
Even I'm so chill, that's whatever. We're both fighters, so whatever. So where in the States are you from?
So I grew up in California until I was 12. And then I moved to China for like 4 years and then lived there for 4 years and went to a French school there. Then I went back to the States, but lived on an island for 3 years near Canada. And then went to LA for university for 1 year, didn't like it, and went to the East Coast to work. And in a nutshell. So I always say, like, if people ask me where I'm from, I say from California, even though I haven't lived there.
Went to a French school in China.
So my dad, he was 16. He went on an exchange program to Switzerland for 1 year, and because he's very intelligent, he managed to become fluent in French in 1 year. And then he wanted me to have the same experience, and so he's just like, "Oh, you know, like Julie's around the same age. Let's instead of sending her to like a English American school, we'll send her to a French school." And so I was already going to a bilingual school back in the States, but that was definitely It was like, you know, like sometimes you just survive, like, or to have friends, yeah. You just have to learn a language.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very good method of like learning a language quickly. Otherwise you'd have no friends.
Wow, so you speak English, French, and
Chinese. Yes, that's correct. I'm starting from Thai,
yeah,
and it's taking
say,
me way longer than it took me to learn French.
Yeah, Thai is very difficult. I'm not fluent.
No, you're fluent.
No, I'm not.
Thailand, didn't you?
I spent the first part of my life in England, the first half, 14 years.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
And the second half. Cool. And
when did you start fighting?
Late. I started fighting when I was like 18.
Oh, really? Mm. That, and so you moved to Thailand when you were 15 or 14?
14, yeah.
Okay. And then did you start training Muay Thai right away?
No, but just a little bit, but not like,
uh-huh.
Not like so intense, you know, not in like the Muay Thai gym, like intensely. Like my dad would like hold past me and just like a little bit here and there, mostly for exercise. And then it was like my dad hosting a fight, promoting a fight, and I was like, okay, like now I really want to get into it.
Yeah. Because my dad was hosting a fight.
Yeah, he used to promote MBK Fight Night.
Oh, okay. Oh, cool. That is so cool. And his daughter's fighting in his promotion.
He didn't like it.
Oh, speaking, yeah, I just got my ass kicked by like a 16-year-old girl today. She's so good. It's so humbling.
Yeah. So, like, what got you into fighting? First of all, what got you into Muay Thai? And where and
so,
when?
Man, it was actually one of those when I first got into like the whole idea of punching stuff. It was a cardio kickboxing class. Like my sister brought me to one of those, and it, you know, it's like where you punch there, you go like, and it was, but it was exhausting. But then what was so cool was the coach actually taught us like proper technique for throwing the punch and stuff. He's like, oh yeah, it's like you have to like throw the shoulder. And after the cardio kickboxing class, that was like 5 years ago or something. I was like. Like, I wonder if you, like, can we bring it to the next level and actually punch something? And so then that eventually evolved. And then I was, like, I took the kickboxing class. You know, cardio kickboxing. And then someone mentioned, when I went back to California for a little bit, they're like, oh, you know what? You should try Muay Thai. It's even better. Like, you can do elbows and knees. And yeah. So then that evolved into that. And then, I first started learning Muay Thai when I was in California, and then when I moved to the East Coast to look for work and internships and stuff, that's when I continued like to pursue that passion.
We're in California.
It was in the Bay Area, so at Berkeley, San Francisco, that area. Yeah, that was like the first Muay Thai gym I went to, over there.
It was actually popular.
I'm sorry?
It's popular in California.
Yeah, there's a big scene. Yeah, like East Coast and West Coast. There's a big Muay Thai scene, which is pretty cool.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So you went to the East Coast after that, and you started working. Did you find a gym there, and you continued doing Muay Thai there?
So, in Philadelphia, there's like at least like 3 Muay Thai gyms in the vicinity, so you had like a lot of choices. And in the States, it's kind of like once you get into the community and you start going to fights and stuff, it's like a very small community. Like you very quickly start to get to know where the other gyms are and who are like the Muay Thai fanatics.
Yeah.
it's a small world. So it's quite interesting.
True.
And everyone's dream is to go to Thailand. Like, that's all, like, people who like Muay Thai, they want to do.
I stayed in the States for 1 year in California. So, like, I got to know the Muay Thai scene there. Like you said, like...
Where did you
small stay? Scene. I'm in LA, West LA. I went to... I went to David's gym, Muay Thai America. David Hui.
I heard of it.
Okay, but yeah, it was good. Like, we went to some shows, and yeah, I met everyone, basically, like you said.
Yeah, basically, yeah. You just go to a fight night, and you meet everyone.
Okay. So did you do any other sports?
Actually, not really. So my parents were very academically oriented. So although I did like sports, I went to actually private schools my whole life, and there was never really a sports curriculum. Like, you know, there weren't any sports teams or anything. So even though my dad came from we were very athletic, we liked to do exercise. I never really participated seriously in any sport up until I dropped out of university and was like, I'm gonna go fight for fun.
Oh my gosh. Which of your parents?
My mom's Chinese and my dad is American.
Caucasian. What was their thoughts on doing Muay Thai and wanting to?
Because now it's completely different. Because it's so far gone that but at first it was very they're just oh, it's her hobby, right? Cool, kind of violent, not sure. My mom was just I can't. My mom was my mom is so anti-violence, and then she's like, Julia, because I wanted to fight, she's like, Julia, you can do it for exercise, but fighting, even if you win, I'm not going to be proud of you because you punched someone and hurt someone. Yeah, I was like, oh, I'm sorry, but we mutually agreed, we both want to be in there. It's it's pretty fun, you usually become friends with them after. But I also, it's just I'm knowing her, she says that, but then also she's secretly, she thinks it's cool too.
Okay.
She's like, yeah, do it for exercise.
Right.
Don't fight. First fight in Thailand, I got elbowed up straight in the face because I have no defense.
Yeah.
So I got a straight up into the chin, I had this huge. It was a bruise. Now it's just a tiny scar, but I had this huge black mark on my chin for a month.
Your mom's video calling you,
Hey, mom. Yeah.
Oh, was there any did you ever feel a cultural conflict with your parents and you being a half? Because me being half Thai, half English. When I first grew up in England, I was so confused with Thai and Chinese because my parents used to have a lot of Chinese friends in Manchester, and I was like, oh, so I'm kind of Chinese. You know, but then that's kind of how I thought I was. I thought Thai people were pretty much so bad.
Wait, but did you visit Thailand when you were little, or you just never visited until you were
not
moved
often?
There?
And when we did, we just went to the family house and just around the family, and then that was kind of it. So I was okay, I don't understand what they're saying, and you know, for me back then, I was everyone kind of looks similar.
Chinese people, you're like, oh yeah, that's me.
Yeah, I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, I get you. And then when we moved over, I was like, oh my god, it's so different.
Oh, that's so funny though. Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah.
Was it
a culture shock when you moved to Thailand then?
Yeah, well, I went to international school when I first came here. And that was already a culture shock in itself, because I was like, they're living this little utopian world of everything's Disney and nice and lovely. And I was like, this is weird, you know? Where I came from in Manchester in England is a bit rough. So I was like, you know, you see shit, you know, you learn from the streets. A lot of street smart, and then here at this school, everyone was so posh, and everything was perfect, and they all had maids and drivers, and I was like, whoa. I don't think I belong here.
Yeah, not just...
Yeah, and then after that school, I kind of immersed myself into, Thai culture with, Muay Thai, and I was like, whoa, this is different, too. Yeah. So...
Did you the Muay Thai culture?
Some parts of it. I mean, it has good and bad. Yeah. I think they can be a bit too, what's it called? Not suspicious, that's not the right word. Superstitious. Too superstitious about a lot of things, you know? So I think that can be too much at times. But yeah, I mean, it's okay. You learn a lot. You learn a lot through the process. Definitely has its pros and cons. But how do you feel? How are you finding it?
Well, I guess, so, like, for me, because, you know, some people, like, their dream is just to be a Muay Thai fighter, and then they're, like, live, breathe, eat Muay Thai. I think, for me, primarily what I do Muay Thai for is for mental health, but then I also like to have other aspects of my life that engage me. Like, Muay Thai, like, helps me a lot physically, but then, like, to feel, like, mentally stimulated, or to, like, you know, you have, like, I believe just, like, anything, it's, like, it's good to have different hobbies as well. And because before I was like coming from a programming background where I was just like hunched in front of the computer the whole day, I really needed the Muay Thai in order to feel like my body, like get movement in my body.
Just feel your body in general, like, oh shit, like, yeah, it does move. Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, I think if it was like when you hear the stories of like Thai fighters who grow up and they live in the gym, it's like it's not necessarily an easy life to do that. There's a lot of sacrifices.
Yeah, and I think like, you know, if you really look at the life of a fighter and you're talking about mental health there, like that's why you see them, a lot of them like kind of go off the bandwagon when they reach their 20s, you know, because like they've lived in a gym their entire life, they've not experienced stuff, you know. Had someone telling them what to do every day, so like when they get a little bit
older,
your whole life, you need other stuff.
But yeah, when you talk to fighters in any discipline, like you talk to like boxers, like Mike Tyson and stuff, like you know, they say they're like, hey. Sure, it looks glamorous when I win, you know, and all that, but like the grind building up to the fight, you know, like getting ready, it's a grind. Like every day you're doing the same thing, same drills to build up your body, build up the muscle memory. It's not like it's building mental toughness, like the building yourself up into a fighter. It's like it's boring, and that's what makes you tough. It's like the people who can like do the hard work are the ones who will be successful.
Yeah, to stick that out.
But oftentimes, like, we just see, like, the flashy part.
Yeah.
And then don't realize.
How do you get into the mindset before a fight? Do you have to, like, kind of psych yourself up?
I'm so jealous because I've had so many friends go into fights, and seeing the different mentalities is so hilarious. Because there's some people, like, actually, like, a lot of girls, some girls that they're like not scared at all. They're just like, oh, I'm excited. For me, I unfortunately get terrified, and like unnecessarily terrified. I get so scared. And what has helped is like I focus what I've been doing to help, because like actually like I actually can't control the fear. I'm just like, hey, regardless, I'm not going to be able to feel not freaked out. So we're going to accept that I'm going to be feel freaked out until the fight starts. And then you're in the moment.
Yeah.
And you're just like very involved in the moment and you can stop freaking out. But then like what I would do to help me is like I would make a list of things that I'd be like, okay, for this fight, like I know in my previous fight, I backed away a lot and it looked really bad. Like, you know. So this time I want to stand my ground. I only want to fall backwards one time, but keep on moving forward. I want to like throw combinations. I want to make sure that I'm listening to it, because like you learn from your previous fights, the mistakes you make. So I was like, okay, that previous fight, I totally blanked out to what my corner was saying. So I'm going to make sure that this time I'm listening. So when you focus on instead what you can control, because like you can't control whether or not you're going to win the fight. Because sometimes they're just going to be better than you. Yeah. And it's like, you know, even if you train really hard, if that person is better, they're better. So what you can control is just like, hey, what actions can I control? Like, I want to make sure I'm checking. I want to make sure I'm doing this. I want to make, so focusing on, the controllable factors. helps to a certain degree. Like, instead of repeating like a mantra, like, I'm strong, I just like repeat my list of things. I was like, these are the list of things that I want to do.
Whoa.
Whether you win or lose, you have like your own, you're in control, because like if you've lost, but you're like, hey, I did everything on my list, you still feel kind of successful, because you're like, okay, well, like, here's a new list of things I need to work on now, but at least, you know, I followed through with my game plan.
That's like what Mike Tyson says, everyone has a plan until you get hit in the face.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You're like, okay, I'm gonna go in, I'm gonna do like a 1-2 and a kick straight up, and then but you're gonna get hit, and then you're like, everything goes.
Well, that's why like all the muscle memory has to come. Yeah. And well, at least because like I'm still a relatively beginner fighter, so it's literally not just me in the ring, it's me in my corner. Because like every time like the bell rings, I'm like, okay, what do we do now? Because I cannot think right now. Like my brain is like very, very limited. So I can listen to what you tell me to do, and I will do that.
Yeah, that's good.
But I mean, like, slowly developing more fight IQ, but it takes time, and it takes longer than you expect.
What's your record now?
So I think I've, at least this is what I have on my Instagram, and I like wrote it down before. So I think I have 7 wins and 2 losses. And 3 of the fights were in the States. Which, like, it sounds like a good record, but I've also fought the same girl 3 times.
Oh.
She's the one that gave me the elbow to the chin that first fight. Like, she's a lot smaller than me, but she's so good. But it's gone to a point where it's just like, we fought 3 times, I've won 3 times. Like, it's, we should, you know, they should not do that matchup anymore.
It's just like, they run out of female fighters, you know, in a lot of places in Thailand. So it's like, okay, well, you're on an island, you're available, she's available, why not? they don't even ask you on her, you know?
Yeah. And then like that lady, she fights like every single week, and she always like, no, but she constantly fights like bigger foreigners and stuff. She's like, I admire her so much. But yeah, it's true, like there is a limit of like the number, and unfortunately with Thai women, they tend to be, you know, like we tend to be a little bit more, as a foreigner, to be a bit bigger.
Yeah.
So when the toughest fights have been with the foreigners. It was in February, and then the COVID shut things down.
When will they open again?
So, as long as, like, the airports are closed, the international airports, I don't think there'll be enough tourists to actually, like, fill the stadiums to make it financially viable. So, my hunch is that until the international borders open, I don't think, like, the stadiums in some way. Because I know, like, some places in Bangkok, it's, like, they have the television that can help with the income. So, it's, like, you don't need as many people. But here, it's just, it's usually, like, the foreigners that pay for the tickets. So, my hunch is it's going to be a while.
So, right now, you said you're in between 2 gyms. Have you settled on 1 yet?
I know that there is this kind of cultural Muay Thai thing where you're supposed to stick with 1 gym and be loyal to that 1 gym. I know there's like a definitely thing, and also with the trainer too, they're like, oh, then you get like 1 trainer, you have to train with that 1 trainer every time. In my experience, every time I go to a new gym or like train with someone new, like they see something that other people like at the other gym don't see. Like it's actually so interesting, because every time you go to a different gym, there's also a different style that they teach. So I personally, like, I really actually enjoy going to the different gyms and then getting a little piece from each one. Even though I know it's like normally you're supposed to stick with 1 gym and be loyal. And I think like if you're in fight camp, it makes sense.
Yeah.
To stick with and have like the primary gym, But now that none of that is happening, I'm fun to explore. There's so many. I have like 4 within like 5 minutes drive.
Yeah, but you know, you make so much sense. Yeah, because now there's no fights happening. You're not fighting. So yeah, why not try the different gyms and get experiences and see where it feels most comfortable for you? Yeah.
Yeah, and each one, like, they spy something different. They're like, oh, you need to do this. Or, like, then where you see common things. Yep. I can't do a push-up. Yes, that is something I need to work on.
I didn't ask you, like, why did you decide to move to Thailand? And, yeah, what happened there?
So, I first came to Thailand, I think, 3 years ago, and it was for like 20 days. And when that happened, it's like when you visit a different country and you realize like the price points of different things, you're like, oh, food is like $1. Oh, rent is like this much. That actually made me, like, I got a general idea of the cost of living in Thailand. And so then that actually, when I went back to the States, I had that in mind. And so whenever I was like working and then paying for my rent, I was just like, yeah, you know, it's actually a lot less expensive. Like, if because I already, like, it was always my dream to be able to work anywhere from my laptop. And that's why I pursued, like, I started with a career as a programmer. Because I was like, that's awesome. Like, you know, it's a really relevant skill. It's necessary. You can build cool stuff. And you can work everywhere. Of course, like, this is a whole other subject. But, like, it's a lot more complicated. Like, not that easy. But so then when I actually moved to Thailand 2 years ago, it was with a goal in mind. I was like, yeah, I want to pursue the life of like earning an income through my laptop and like through work online and living wherever I want. And I still hadn't had everything figured out, but I just made the leap because like after I paid like my rent in the States, I was like, well, this actually, what I just paid for my 1 month of barely scraping by can get me 3 months in Thailand. So the excuse, because oftentimes in the States, they're like, oh, we're saving up to go to Thailand for vacation.
Yeah.
And then having been there, I was like, well, actually, you know, if you think about it, you're probably saving by living in Thailand. And that's what did they call it, like geo-arbitrage? Like, that's what nomads specifically do. Like, if you're earning an income online, it's more financially viable for you to live in Asia than in, like, the States.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're much better quality of life for like less expensive.
Are you enjoying programming?
So I was like doing coding gigs, like building websites, and then there were some like freelance jobs. But recently I've switched a bit more to content creation, and I'm helping like do remote content creation for what I'm doing right now because it like changes. Before I like started a couple months ago, I started a mastermind to teach people Instagram, and I'm just like trying out different things and seeing like what feels good, you know, like, oh, should we go down this way or go down that way? And right now what I've been doing is I've been helping because I'm pretty good at building brands on like through social media, because basically it's like how I see it. It's like, you're just, if a brand is already really good, you just have to story tell and tell the world, like, you know, their story in a way that's like conventional to the platform. So like recently I started working with like gyms and like there's a fighter like in the States, and then there's a gym in Malaysia, and I help them with their social media and content creation. So
that's good. You're getting like lots of experience in different things. Yeah, you're still like working where you want to work.
Yeah, it's been really, because like I love doing the content creation because I ask them to do like tutorials, and then when I'm editing the tutorials, I'm learning from like different teachers around the world as well.
Oh, that's cool.
So I'm enjoying it right now.
Yeah, really cool. So in the gyms that you're going around right now, is there many fighters? Is there still like fighters
There are the people who live in like here permanently who have fought. There are not as many as there normally are, but there are some. And everyone who's been here has already been here for 5 months, at least.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
How are they
surviving? Well, actually, because like Thailand, like, We're on a tropical island. It's not really like the worst place to be stuck.
It's
either.
Not, but like in terms of like financially.
Yeah, well, actually, most of them, if they've already been here 5 months, like they figured out a way to like sustain. And because there are still ways to go back home. Like if you really wanted to, you'd be able to like catch flight back to your native country.
You said most of them are here by choice.
Say that again?
You said you've been here 2 years?
I think like a year, because I came here last in 2019 in January. So about a year and a half. Yeah.
You're happy here?
Yeah. I'm starting to think about going, like, because, like, for example, just moving to a different part of Savoy as well, I was like, oh, this is so nice. I need to do this more and, like, go to a different place. And I was like, yeah, so in the future, I think I do want to continue moving to different geographic regions and stuff.
I mean, you were in Koh Phangan before.
Yes. Yeah.
How'd you find that?
Yeah. I liked it a lot. It's really beautiful and it's very scenic. It's like when you've lived in Samui for a bit, then when you go to Koh Phangan, you're like, man, you drive everywhere and it's so gorgeous. But having lived there, it's so weird. It's like once you've lived somewhere already, it's like you're like, ah, seen that. On to the next place. Yeah. But it's very gorgeous. I highly recommend it. Right now there's actually more foreigners there than there are in Samui. Yeah. I visited there a couple a week ago or something, and I was like, oh my god, there's actually a lot of people there.
Oh wow.
Yeah, because Koh Phangan attracts like a very artistic, like, you know, they attract tourists, but they also attract like a permanent artistic and like very creative crowd. Mm-hmm. So there's actually like quite a lot of like different, very creative people on the island.
A lot of yogis and hipsters.
Yeah. Yeah, well, no, but like for example, I did a photo shoot like there, and then there's like supermodels living on the island, like professional makeup artists, like because it was like the model organized the whole photo shoot, and she got like the videographers and like the photographers, and you're like, oh my god, how did you get all these talented people, and they're just like all in the same place, and I think like, yeah, and it's like it's just a small tiny island, but there's like, yeah, a lot of talent there.
Let's go back to your fighting. Any pros and cons are maybe your best and worst moments or things in your fighting career? Even being a female fighter?
Yeah. Ooh, that's a good question. The worst moment was when, actually, it was like my first loss in Thailand, and I was fighting another foreigner. And the thing is, like, I will never make this mistake again. I underestimated her because, like, I saw a fight footage of her before, and then I was watching the footage, and I'm like, no problem, I've got this. I can beat her. And so when it was at the Phetchabun Chau Stadium, and then when I remember, like, I was in the dressing room and, you know, where they're wrapping her hands and stuff. And I look over and I see this girl and she has these like huge muscles on her arms that I was like, oh man. And she's sitting down. I was like, don't stand up. Like, tell me we're the same height. She stands up and she's like slightly taller than me. And I'm like, oh, and her arms look so strong too. So I was like, okay, well, you know, this is very fair, like, because I have fought, like, a huge number of my opponents have been smaller than me, so it's fair that I finally, like, fight someone slightly bigger. But, yeah, I think, like, I'm never going to do this again where I, like, think that I'm assuming I'm going to win before a fight, because what happened is, like, both my coach and I, like, we were like, oh, yeah, I'm going to win. So then when I started, like, having a hard time fighting her, and, like, I was actually losing the rounds. We actually, like, in between rounds, we started getting into an argument. Like, we were, like, arguing during the break. And then he's just like, why are you doing this? Like, why are you just punching her in the stomach? And I'm just like, don't ask me why I'm doing it. Tell me what to do. And we're like literally like arguing back and forth and like fighting in between rounds. God. And I think that was the worst. Because it's like we're like arguing, yelling at each other. Yeah. Like in between. And then like after the fight, I was like, okay, I didn't win. She won fair and square. But I think like, you know, like that was hard. Like, you know, it was a hard fight. I'm proud of myself. And then he was like so disappointed in me. And then I saw him, like he was so angry. And I would just remember like bursting into tears, like in the changing room and just like sobbing. And I think that was like my worst experience was like, because yeah, I never want to experience that again. It's when you're arguing with your coach, like during the fight, you're like, what? Can this not wait for later? And it was actually like, it was a huge learning experience because then after that, we're like, okay, next time around, like, here are some ground rules for how it was like not to make this happen. So, like, the best, like, my most enjoyable memory was actually like the most recent fight where it was way better communication. Like, because that was the learning experience I learned from that, where I was just like, hey, you know, like, some students, they're okay with you because, like, Muay Thai is still, like, a very masculine field. So sometimes, like, guys are like, oh, yeah, you can just yell at your fighter. Because, you know, that's how they were raised. It's, like, they get slapped around. Like, yeah. If the coaches, like, sees you're not, they, like, slap you. Like, and then, like, I was like, oh, please. Like, if you slap me, I'm going to cry. Like, I'm not going to react in the way you want me to react. Yeah. So then I have to, like, tell them specifically, like, I know you were, when you grew up as a fighter, like, your corner could slap you and, like, you know, like, to get your head in the fight, but, like, that will, like, break me. Like, I need support. I need verbal support. So, like, our most recent fight, because we've, like, learned a lot, like, he knows, like, how to explain to me. So, but, like, the best fighting is when you're actually, it's not just you that's fighting. Like, you go back to the corner, and it feels like a team. Yeah. Like, you're all working together. You're like, okay. This is good, like, but you know, like, you should focus more on this. This is working. And then where you're like, okay, yes, coach, I got it. And it's, like, such a good feeling of, like, teamwork, actually. Even though you're the only one in the ring, it's way more exciting when you feel like you have your partner.
You know, when we're talking about the culture of Muay Thai, you definitely do feel that then. And what you just said, like, it can also be like a cultural clash or the clash that we're, you know, we're female and they're male. So yes, they may like talk to us a little bit harsher than we would like in some cases, or like push us a little bit harder. But yeah, we're also like, yeah, but I can be pushed hard, but yeah, just not that hard. You know, so there is something like
there's different styles. Like, there's some women that they're like, yeah, yell at me, like, you know, like, and then that will get me going.
Yeah.
But and I'm sure there's some men that are like, oh, don't harass me. So it's like everyone just has like different styles.
Yes.
And it's like you like figure it out as you go, and then you have to like learn to like work together with a coach.
Like, it takes me a while to get into the fight. So like when In round one, I'm always like kind of still asleep. So I remember once, like, after the first round, I didn't really take too many hits. Usually after I take some hits, I'm like, okay, I'm here now. And I didn't really take so many. So I went to my corner after that round, and I said to my corner, like, slap me. Like, I need to like wake up. And he didn't want to do it. He was like, like, so small. This one.
Have they ever poured the cold water on you? That you're like, oh.
But like you would be like on your stomach and you're like, what does that even that do? What does that do right now?
You're like, oh, my intestines, all the leftover food in my intestines have gone down.
So many funny things. So yeah, like a lot of tradition is involved in Muay Thai, you know. Maybe it's not the most updated sports science, but it's stuff that they've been doing forever, so they'll just stick to that.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yeah.
Oh yeah, so and best moment, your favorite moment.
Oh yeah, well that's what I told you before, was like the most recent fight. Whereas like there's a good sense of camaraderie.
Okay, yeah.
And unfortunately it's when you're winning, like, you know, when you're losing, it's never pleasant. Like, you know, everyone's just like, but you have to, like, those are also the best learning experience. But, like, in the moment, yeah, it's, like, it's hard to, like, have a good sense of camaraderie when you're, like, but, yeah.
Is there any females that you would like to fight, or like maybe you just idolize, like you really like their style, and maybe like your favorite female fighter, something like that?
Ooh, man, I mean, like, actually all female fighters I respect, and I have honestly, like, just anyone who can get into the ring, and just like, but also when you go to the higher level, it's so cool to watch technical. There is, I unfortunately don't watch as many female fights as I should, and I should be more educated about it. Like, unfortunately, like, a lot of the stuff just comes from cool clips on Instagram, and I'm like, oh, that's so cool. For example, you know, there's a woman who fights in Phuket that's called Helen. And she fights, she's Brazilian, but like when I see her clips of fighting, it's like she is so calm and she sees everything. Oftentimes I only see like 10 seconds clips, but even those 10 second clips, like, she's, everything is very like composed and she's looking, and then when she throws, it's like everything is like just very perfect, and I was just like, it's so beautiful how like the little clips that I've seen.
If it's the girl I'm thinking of, I went to Phuket maybe last year, and I think I saw her fight. But like her white crew, if it's this girl, her white crew is so sensual.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it? But when she wins, does she not smile? Because like this one, like whenever I see photos with her hand raised, she's just like.
She fought Boakail to Thai gym.
Oh, maybe.
It was a great fight, but she didn't win it. Yeah, but anyway, I just remember her white crew thinking, this is very sexy and sensual for a white crew.
I have no idea.
Oh my god. She's like putting in some like Latina flavor into the white crew. I was like, whoa, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the same one. I have no idea. Yeah. There are a lot of really good Brazilian Muay Thai fighters, I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot. Male, cool. Female. Yeah. It's a shame, like, there's not so many places to fight.
Really
difficult.
So, like, are you talking about now quarantine or just in general?
Well, for female fighters, in general, and for all fighters now, you know.
Yeah.
So have you never?
I heard in Chiang Mai, like, the fighting scene for women is more populated.
Even before COVID, like recently, I don't think it wasn't a high at one point, and I think now it's kind of like. I mean, it's seasonal again, like when people like come and go, leave Thailand. But have you never like seen a fighter and thought like, I want to fight that person? This is a strange question, because I haven't, but I used to have girls message me telling me they want to fight me, and that's why I just wanted to. It's so weird. Hey, how you doing? Like, I want to fight you one day.
Like, unfortunately for me, it's like, if I want to fight someone, it's because I think I can beat them. Like, it's not like that. Unfortunately, I'm kind of like, what? If someone fights really well, I'm just like, ooh, wow, she's so cool. But I'm not like, I want to fight her. It's when I fight, to be honest, like, because I tell you, I'm terrified before I fight. Like, for me, why I do it is like, it's not because I have like an aggressive personality. I literally do it because, like, is to face my fears. And it's like, hey, because oftentimes, like, the fear is a lot more exaggerated than the actual experience. And so it's like, every time I'm like, hey, it's like a way to teach myself. You're like, hey, like, you're terrified, but then it's actually not that scary. But yeah, it's not like something that like naturally I'm like, ooh, yes, no, I want to go like punch her. Right, for me, I'm like, please don't pee your pants.
No, but it definitely is like a good challenge in itself. When you do challenge yourself, like, wow, I actually did that. You know, I'm doing this. Like, it is like empowering.
It's exhilarating. I think that's why like a lot of us do it.
I only wanted to try it. I only wanted to try one fight, and that after that one fight, I was like, "Wow, this adrenaline! I've never felt this in my life." So it becomes addictive. So then it just kept on going, and then yeah, the adrenaline started to wear off. Maybe like after the 10th fight, it started to like go down. I was like, "Okay, why am I here?"
Yawn. Another one.
Yeah, I would, like sometimes I go into the corner and I'd be like, oh, like ready to fight, you know? Just before the fight, I'm like, why am I here? Like to myself, what am I doing? After like, I've only had 20 fights. So after that, I was like, yeah, I'm done now. Like, I've had that
crush. Yeah, it's been fun. Yeah, well, I feel like that's the best way, like, why I fight also is because it terrifies me, but, like, I feel like it's also the best way to get better. Like, no matter how hard the sparring, it cannot simulate, like, the craziness of being in an actual fight. And I think the best way to get better, as if you're like, hey, I want to get really good at Muay Thai, and then you're like, oh, no, but I can't fight Muay Thai until I'm really good. In reality, you're like, actually, you should just fight as much as you can. And, you know, within reason, like, don't, like, hurt yourself, too. You have to make sure you're conditioned. But, like, if your body is conditioned, you should fight as much as you can. Because that's the fastest way to get better, even though it might be humiliating. Because, but I think it's way better to just get in the reps. Like, that's the best way to get better.
I agree with that, because otherwise you're just wasting time and you're going to keep on waiting and waiting and you're not getting any younger. So, you know, you may as well just do it.
Not getting younger.
And the older that you get, like, it's going to be more difficult for the training, for fight preparation, and even recovery after the fight. You know, you don't heal as well. So, yeah, it's good. It's better to do it as soon as you can. Yes, you will exceed.
Yeah, but oftentimes it's like it's a fear that's holding us back. It's not like actual skill, because regardless of whether you fight, sometimes they're going to be better, sometimes they're not. Like, the only variable that you can control is how good your cardio is, you know, like, because that you can control within a month. You can train up to that good cardio in a month. But your level of experience, it's like not something you can fast forward. And the best way to gain more experience is by fighting. So like within a month, like, you know, your cardio is good, then that's the best way to get experience and learn from the fight. What's super cool, like, I don't know if you've noticed this, but like when you're fighting, your butt and you like use a strike that works really well, it becomes part of your muscle memory.
Yeah.
Like then that strike, like, your body remembers, and then that strike becomes like very effective. And they're like, wow, why did you punch so good? And you're like, well, my body kind of just remembers.
That's very true. I used to like doing head kicks, and also there was like a kick followed by a punch straight away. So like even before my leg touched or my foot touched the floor or the canvas, my punch would go out straight away. So like it was like a double bup bup. So like that would be automatic. A catch for every time. Like, worked again. Yeah, that's really true.
Oh yeah.
Other than those two moves, I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. My left knee
has like muscle memory where it's just like I don't even think, and it like goes up and like, and then the girl crumples, and I'm like, yes. Thank you.
A good knee is always good. Yeah. Okay, so it's good though. So like, you kind of basically you made it clear that you don't want to be like this big superstar fighter and. You know, that's not your goal. You're just doing this for like your own challenge.
Yeah, like superstar fighter, the sacrifice. Like you got to respect like the amount of sacrifice that goes into it. Me, I love the lifestyle of a fighter that's not just, you know, like, I love eating healthy. I love training all the time. It's good for my mental health. It's also good for my mental health to, like, do other things and earn a living in other ways.
Yeah. Find fighting.
No.
No. Interesting.
No.
See, a lot of people say that they do. They say, like, it's a lonely sport.
Really?
Yeah.
I think when you're, I don't know, like, I can't speak for the people who feel lonely, but for me, because my work, like, involves a lot of solo, like, being by myself on the computer, actually being able to go into a gym, and, because I like group classes, like, it's actually a way for me to, like, actually, I need it, yeah. Like, feel,
socialize.
Like, connected with other people. Yeah, I mean, there's only so much eating together with people you can do, but, like, in a gym, you're, like, sweating, and then, like, you're tired, you're pushing yourself. So for me, it's definitely, it's not a lonely sport. But I actually do it to help me, like, stay sane, to, like, you know, see other people. Because otherwise, I'd just be, like, working. I could be working all day on my laptop by myself.
Because, like, yeah, that's true. Like, people, like, when you say they live, eat, sleep, Muay Thai, that is all they're doing. So I guess, like, that whole repetitiveness, and, like, they'll have so many naps, and they're always going and doing things on their own. I guess it makes sense. Like,
you live and sleep Muay Thai, it's like, you can't hang out with your friends, like, you're either too exhausted.
Yeah.
Like, that I can definitely understand. Yeah.
So whilst being in Koh Samui over COVID, I'm sure you've seen a big difference in, like, a lot of things. I mean, over 100 hotels are up for sale there. That's what I
heard. Oh, my God, really?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
No, you didn't.
I mean, like, what can you say? It's just a lot quieter right now. That's the biggest difference.
You don't see, like, a lot of businesses just, like, seem to be out of business.
We were just looking for, like, a place to have lunch. And we were, like, looking on map, and we're like, okay, this one's open. And both of them were closed. Like, we ended up going to, like, the place we always go to. Because just, like, on the maps, yeah, like I don't know what percentage of the restaurants have closed down. But, yeah.
So you said, like, your future plans, you want to just stay in Thailand, but just, like, move around different areas in Thailand. Just do that for now.
Yeah. Well, because, like, right now, because there's a lockdown, it is, like, until the borders and, like, until this quarantine has ended, and, like, it's actually safer just to stay in one country. So while that's going on, there's plenty of places to explore.
Yeah.
In Thailand.
That's true. Thailand's
pretty. Especially. I feel like they've done a pretty good job.
Yeah. And last question.
Yeah.
What makes you the happiest?
What makes me the happiest?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, it's not going to be that original. Well, why I pursued going to Thailand and all that was because, like, training Muay Thai, like, after class, that's when I feel the best. And I think it's, like, the endorphin rush. It's, like, the being with other people. It's, like, feeling the sense of accomplishment. Like I said before, like, why I started, like, got addicted to Muay Thai was because it was, like, the best form of mental health that I could use. Because I tend to be one of those people that is, I don't have, like, I'm not very emotionally stable. Like it's easy for me to go down into spirals. And the one thing that has helped me consistently is not, like, talk therapy, it's not medication. It's actually just having, like, good training routine. So that, and I think, like, reading books also makes me really happy.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. So it's like
physical
stimulation and mental stimulation. But no, it definitely exercise. I
really just helps a lot too.
Sorry, what was that?
the social component. Because
yeah.
usually at Muay Thai gyms, people are very nice.
Yeah.
But at least that's usually the case for me.
No, definitely.
Yeah.
Everyone's so humble. Everyone's so friendly.
And I think it's cool, like something about being exhausted. They're like, oh.
Yeah. It's the same thing. If everyone's doing this physical activity, you know, everyone's releasing this dopamine. You know, they're all releasing a happy hormone, and they're all feeling good about themselves. So yeah, like that whole vibe and energy spreads around. So yeah, it is like a good vibe. I love Muay Thai gyms.
Yeah, agreed.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Julia. Everyone can follow you at Fight Code Julia on Instagram. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thank you, Jane.
Bye.
Bye. Are we leaving?
No, one second. I'm just going to stop recording.